And welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, color breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Michael Saylor is buying all the Bitcoin. He literally owns, after the announcement today that he made, where we're going to cover during the news segment, he literally owns one out of every 140 Bitcoin. And we'll sprinkle some more bullishness in there. There are roughly 60 million millionaires around the world, and there's only 21 million Bitcoin. If every single millionaire around planet Earth wanted to buy one Bitcoin, they physically couldn't. And now that Michael Saylor is literally buying all of it, there's not going to be enough to go around. Now we have the BlackRock announcement that just came out. We have the Fidelity announcement. We have Fidelity announcing that they're launching an institutional exchange with Charles Schwab, like the financial services company. And all of this is happening, and the Chad Saylor just keeps buying all of the corn. So let's do that math right quick again, right? So in an ideal world, right, every millionaire around the world, the 60 million of them, would have this 21 million Bitcoin to buy, right? But there's an estimated 5 to 4 million lost, right? So you subtract that, you know, by 21 million, around 16 million left, right? And then you keep subtracting all the corn that Michael Saylor owns, all the corn that the Bitcoiners own in cold storage, all the corn that the miners own. And there's really not that much Bitcoin to go around. The vast majority of Bitcoin is held in cold storage. So when the inevitable floodgates happen, there's really not that much to be sold. And this kind of reminds me of this tweet by American HODL. I usually don't pull up stuff in the very beginning, but I kind of want to set the tone for the rest of this episode because this made me extremely, extremely bullish. So I'm actually going to share my screen for a little bit. I usually never do this, but you know, we're going to change up the show a little bit. So here's a tweet by American HODL. It says, to the people upset with MicroStrategy's Bitcoin position size, how are you going to feel when the Fed announces that they hold 2.8 million Bitcoin acquired for $4.52 trillion at an average cost of $1.6 million per Bitcoin? Because eventually that is going to happen and we can't do anything to stop it. But you know what you can do? Stay humble, stack sats, and send those sats into cold storage, because then no one could take it away from you. And of course, don't sell your Bitcoin to MicroStrategy, the Fed, or BlackRock. You definitely don't want to do that. You want to make it over the finish line with your stack intact. Anyways, I want to bring my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti? How is Optimus Fields doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. But man, Saylor's taking all the Bitcoin. What is going on here? And then also, guys, we know what his plan is. It's holding on to these Bitcoin forever. So man, it's like a black hole of sats over there in Saylor's cold storage. Absolutely insane that he owns. What's the numbers? One out of every 140 coins?
Like, yes. But that's divided by 21 million. If you divide it by 16 million, that number is a lot higher.
Yo, I think this is the time in the show when we point out that I think few people understand what digital scarcity really means and how scarce Bitcoin actually is. It's going to blow people's minds, especially considering that all the paper Bitcoin has been cleared out of the market. I know Nate's been telling me to not get stupidly bullish, but I think this next bull run is going to be absolutely marvelous. So, man, HODL them coins. Make sure you have your Bitcoin protected. And on that note, on the culture today, a few people have been asking about a few things. One was about running a node, and the other one was last week I mentioned having good UTXO hygiene, UTXO management. So we're going to do one of those bits that I always do on the show every once in a while about running a node, UTXO management, and obviously the ethical Bitcoin wallets that I endorse. So we're going to go back to some Bitcoin 101 for you new guys out here, new ladies as well. It's going to be an overview So we'll probably have to get more in depth on other channel or other shows, or maybe I'll have to push you over to BTC sessions so that you guys can get that deep dive on stuff. But I'm going to do an overview on running a node, Bitcoin wallets, and UTXO management, backing up your keys and all that good stuff for all you new viewers out there that are asking us questions. So I think it's going to be a great show today, Nico. Let's go.
Absolutely. And also, breaking news, guys, it came out yesterday, the news in regarding to Prime Trust. So we're going to be covering that today. We have all the details for you guys. It's going to be a great show. Really looking forward to it. It is Wednesday, and tonight we have a very special guest. We have the one, the only, Jimmy Song coming on Simply Bitcoin IRL at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm really, really excited for that show as well. But anyways, no more delay. Let's jump straight into numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, I want to tell you about the largest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2024. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, July 25th through the 27th, 2024. And you can take advantage of the early bird ticket specials for a GA ticket. It's only $299. For an industry pass ticket, it's $749. For a whale pass, it's $4,499. And you want to get your tickets quickly, because the prices do go up. So you want to take advantage of the early bird special. And on top of the early bird special, you can get a 10% discount on top of all these prices by using the promo code SIMPLY. So I hope to see you guys in the flesh at Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville, Tennessee. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 30,410 sats per dollar, 3,288. Block height, 796,209. Reachable Bitcoin node, 17,096. Blocks to halving, 43,701. Halving estimates, April 25th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,442 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $165 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.75%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $590 billion. With a B. Anyways, today I want to talk about this guy, Paul Tudor Jones. He has an estimated net worth of $7.5 billion. He had this very interesting interview on CNBC. I'm going to play you a clip of it, and then Opti and I will talk about it. Let's check it out.
Bitcoin. You came on our air.
Yep.
During the early part of the pandemic, I think it was trading at $8,000-$9,000
yep.
a coin.
Yep.
And you said, I'm in.
Yep.
And I think you wrote it all the way up to $60,000-some-odd.
Yep.
And we then wrote it back down to $15,000. And we're now sitting, I think, somewhere around $27,000.
I've never sat on a horse that long, just so you know.
So what's the, you're still on the horse, though.
I, from the beginning, I've always said I want to have a small allocation to it, because it's a great tail event. It's the only thing that humans can't adjust the supply in. So I'm sticking with it. I'm going to always stick with it as just a small diversification in my portfolio. What do I think right now? I liked it last December. I still think I mean...
Would you buy more right now?
Would I buy more? I would probably... I look at it in gold, and I think they've done so well recently because of the fact that we have had these great risk premiums. I wonder whether they may not be boring in the future. Right. Also, Bitcoin has a real problem, because the United States, you have the entire regulatory apparatus against it. So it's just kind of yesterday's news. And if inflation's truly done a bit, if that story's been played, then you have to wonder. We were buying gold and Bitcoin for the inflation hedges. That game may be over. Six months ago, before AI, before the possible productivity boost that we'll get for it, I would have said a completely different story with regard to the inflationary future, and with regard to all the inflation hedge.
Interesting. So a couple things to break down, right? He pointed out something that we've been covering on Simply Bitcoin for quite a while now, which is the United States apparatus, the government apparatus is, you know, it's hostile towards the industry, right? There's kind of two takes on that, right? Take number one is really they're the SEC is upset that the Bitcoin and the shitcoin industry is playing by a different set of tools in the traditional financial system, and then there is the conspiratorial Bitcoin paranoid Bitcoiner side of things, which is like obviously they're against this because clearly any government would want to be able to maintain their privilege of being able to create money for free that everyone else has to work for. But there's something else that he said there, which I find is really interesting, is why he likes about Bitcoin is that you can't create more of it, right? There's a fixed supply of 21 million. And the fact that you have a very, very wealthy billionaire saying this tells me that, there's other people waking up to this reality. And the CNBC clip that we played you yesterday with Nassim Taleb, where it was actually the CNNBC reporters that were coming to the defense of Bitcoin, really shows you where we are in the movie, right? If they would have had that conversation 5 years ago, it would have been the CNNBC reporters attacking the Bitcoin guest that was being featured on the show. Now it's the exact opposite of that happening. And I think that this is a trend that's going to continue. I think, other than, the narrative that people are buying Bitcoin because it's an inflation hedge. I mean, in the U.S., fine, even if they tame down inflation, right? Say they get it back to that 2% magical number. If you're in Argentina, Bitcoin's making all-time highs. If you're in Turkey, Bitcoin's making all-time highs, right? Bitcoin has, it's not even helped as an inflation hedge. It is the only viable alternative to your local, fiat currency. Right. So I think that's an interesting take. I also don't like the fact that he put an equivalence between Bitcoin and gold. We know that Bitcoin is better than gold, because, we don't know how much gold there is in the ground. There's definitely a bunch of gold flying in outer space. Like there was this article where there was this asteroid that had like $1 trillion worth of gold on it, right? There's no asteroids, I mean, not that I know of, that are flying around outer space with 1 million Bitcoin on them. And then not only to mention this, right, is that the inflation, that gold has an inflation rate, and that inflation rate is relatively stable because if the price of gold goes higher, that kind of incentivizes gold miners to mine harder, right? Where in Bitcoin is completely different, right? It doesn't matter how much miners invest into the infrastructure or invest in more miners. The halving is set in stone, right? So like roughly every 4 years, give or take, the amount of Bitcoin being the sell pressure gets cut in half. Right. The amount of Bitcoin that is rewarded via block subsidy gets cut in half. Right. And that's going to happen for the next 100-something years until the block subsidy runs out. So it's completely different than gold in that sense. But at the same time, I think, we've come a long way. Sometimes we have to kind of zoom out and see where you are in the historical sense. This is my 7th year in Bitcoin going into my 8th. If you would have told me 7 years ago you would have told me in the beginning of, my orange pill journey, you would have told me, Nico, 7 years from now, you would have multiple public companies holding Bitcoin on their balance sheets. You would have a nation state multiple nation states at this point making Bitcoin legal tender. You would have billionaires advocating for the strengths of Bitcoin on, a legacy corporate media. I would have said you're fucking crazy. And I would have definitely tried to take out more loans back then to buy more Bitcoin. So hindsight's 20/20, but now I've kind of learned my lesson a little bit. And the name of the game is simple. Make sure that you have more Bitcoin than the day before. Everything else is noise. And of course, take that Bitcoin into self-custody. Learn how to take self-custody. not your keys, not your Bitcoin, you know, and then the next step after that is, you know, run your own node, have trust your own copy of the Bitcoin blockchain, run your own version of Bitcoin, you know, trust, minimize your setup, stop outsourcing the personal responsibility of the storage of your wealth. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, bro?
Wait, first off, I was behind the scenes, but the quote you said of, I wish I would have known this, I would have taken out more loans, has me cracking up. Okay, I mean,
like,
hey.
I took out loans. Like, I borrowed money from my ex-girlfriend, maxed out my credit card.
This is not financial advice.
I went bonkers, but I think I would have been more aggressive if I knew where, like, how far we would have come, you know. So,
you're cracking me up.
It is not financial advice. Mikingo says it best: stay solvent, my friend. Stay solvent.
Stack sats, stay humble. Okay.
Stay humble. Stack sats. Stay solvent. There's another.
Yeah, that's the full meme.
That's the full meme. Anyways, what are your thoughts, Opti?
Yeah. So I mean, hey, look, Paul Tudor Jones, billionaire hodler. Love to see it. Not the only billionaire, or Saylor's not the only billionaire hodler out there. And I mean, he said a lot of interesting stuff in that little clip. The first one, if you read between the lines, he basically said Bitcoin is the fastest horse in the race, and he's going to stay on the horse for as long as humanly possible. And as an average everyday person that probably doesn't have as much money as Paul Tudor Jones to buy ridiculous amounts of assets, this is your opportunity to, you know, get ahead in life, to hold on to something that will appreciate going forward, that doesn't get the base, because as we know, and we constantly double down on the idea and beat the dead horse, that you can't save in dollars. And most people still think they can save in dollars. There's still people out there that think that the dollar is backed by gold. Like, this is where we are in the world. This is the financial illiteracy of the average person. And this is by design. But did I hear him correctly in saying that AI will stop inflation? Like, am I hearing things here?
I think he said like AI is a more interesting investing opportunity. I think.
I thought he was angling that like AI will stop inflation. I was gonna say CPI is lowering, but you can't unprint trillions of dollars. Like, it, you can't put that cat back in the bag, and you know, Bitcoin is the inflation hedge that we know it is. It's like we've been talking about all day already. Digital scarcity. And there is less than 21 million Bitcoin out there. And you can have a little bit of that pie right now. What's the numbers on how many millionaires are there in the world, Nico?
Roughly 60 million.
60 million. Now do the math. 60 million, 21 million. They can't get a coin. So get your piece of the pie today.
It's like 60 million that are not lost. And then you have to start subtracting, like MicroStrategy. You know, subtract another 150,000 off of that. So subtract like all the Bitcoin that Tesla owns, like the OG hodlers that are holding 10,000 Bitcoin that no one knows who they are, right? And all these OG Bitcoiners that got in very, very, very soon, right? They're holding hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin. So there's really not that much Bitcoin to go around. And then you have these giant institutions. And I actually heard this being talked about during the new show on Swan, the Nakamoto Gauntlet, which is fucking awesome. It's Joe Carlosari, Greg Foss, and this fund manager, and of course, Dom. And what they said during the show was just so fascinating. They basically said that in Bitcoin, it's different than what happens with other assets, where the big players actually get in first and then Main Street gets in last, versus in Bitcoin, it's been the complete opposite. It's actually been the grassroots. Main Street got in first, and it's Wall Street that's coming in second. They're coming in behind, right? So you had all this time to, you know, stack your ass off. And you still have time, right? You still have time before, you know, what happens on a historical sense. And of course, you know, past results are not indicative of the future, but historically what tends to happen is that Bitcoin moons a year, six to nine months after the halving, right? So you got some time. You got some time to pack your bags for sure.
Wait, Nico. Did you just say that Wall Street is dumb money? Yes, he did. Confirmed. No. and then back to the Paul Tudor Jones thing, and you kind of brought it up as well, you know, relating it to gold. Yes, Bitcoin and gold are both, you know, hard money warriors in the fight of fight against Keynesian economics and modern monetary theory. But as a Bitcoiner, and I think if you do evaluate them both, you know, side by side, you come to the conclusion that Bitcoin is the 10x improvement on gold. Like, you can't just send gold around the world in 10 minutes. You can't store billions, millions of dollars of gold in your head. You know, like, I think, as much as the boomers out there like to conflate the two, yes, I love gold. You know, I've said it as a joke before. My Latino roots show. I want my whole house, you know, coated in gold. So I'm excited. I'm excited for gold to be demonetized completely, and we can start using it everywhere, bro. So shouts out to all the gold bugs out there. We are in the same fight, but I really do think that Bitcoin is an improvement on gold in the digital world. You know, having digital money is it's more than just useful. It is an improvement in money technology.
Amen to that. All right, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the news. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, everybody, I want to tell you about the Orange Pill Lab. They are building the social layer for Bitcoin. As crazy as it sounds, without the people, Bitcoin is just ones and zeros. Bitcoin is the people. Bitcoin is you. It's me. It's Opti. It's Satoshi. It's Dell. It's Rustin. Absolutely killing it on the clips. Download the Orange Pill app for iOS or Android and connect with other Bitcoiners in real life today. Find other Bitcoiners that live near you, and you can go into the app totally anon and search for other Bitcoiners by common interest. Orange Pill app is also the world's biggest repository for Bitcoin-only events. If you want to meet other Bitcoiners in real life, this is the app for you. Sign up through the App Store, and you can even pay in sats. And of course, Opti and I appreciate all the love and messages that we're getting via the Orange Pill app. I appreciate you guys. And anyways, let's get to the news. Crazy, a lot of news today, actually. So first, we're going to start off with the big kahuna. MicroStrategy, this is a tweet by Michael Saylor for our audio listeners, has acquired an additional 12,333 Bitcoin for $347 million at an average price of $28,136 per Bitcoin. Was MicroStrategy responsible for the Bitcoin pump? I don't know. As of June 27, 2023, MicroStrategy hodls 152,333 Bitcoin acquired for $4.52 billion at an average price of $29,668 per coin. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Saylor is in the green. This is the beginning of Michael Saylor being vindicated. This is the beginning of Nayib Bukele being vindicated. And next cycle, it will be undeniable that MicroStrategy made a very good decision putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet as an alternative to fiat currency. And it will be vindicated on the nation state level that Nayib Bukele's move to make Bitcoin legal tender and also put it on, you know, on the country's treasury was a good move. And I suspect, you know, market forces are going to do what market forces do. And other companies are going to be looking over and saying, hey, you know what, holding Bitcoin's a pretty good idea. Could you imagine if you're a company like Apple and you're holding billions of dollars of fiat, if you're just holding that cash? That's tens of millions of dollars that they're and purchasing power that they're losing every single year because of inflation. They could be holding Bitcoin. Just saying, maybe it's a crazy idea, but I think it's going to become undeniable. This is a tweet that I came out with this morning. I said MicroStrategy now owns one out of every 140 Bitcoin, and I want to show the American HODL one because I think it's very appropriate. I'm going to repeat myself, but I think it's worth it. And he goes on to say, how are you going to feel when the Fed announces they hold 2.8 million Bitcoin acquired for $4.52 trillion at an average cost of 160, 100, 100, 1.6 million per coin, because eventually that is going to happen. I think all central banks are going to follow suit. All roads lead to Bitcoin. We tell you guys this all the time. Anyways, breaking news. This was a pretty big splash yesterday. Crypto firm Prime Trust placed into receivership. We're going to go through some of the key details. It goes on to say the receivership request filed in Nevada on Tuesday states that Prime Trust, which was previously a financial infrastructure provider for Binance and others, owes its clients more than $85 million in fiat currency, with only $3 million available on hand. Additionally, the company owes $69.5 million in crypto and holds $68.6 million in crypto assets. This move from Nevada comes only days after custodian Bitcoin, BitGo, withdrew its bid to acquire Prime Trust. It also follows a cease and desist order issued by the state, which claimed that Prime Trust was on the verge of insolvency. Even more troubling, the filing revealed Prime Trust is operating with a $12 million equity deficit and is facing challenges assessing some of its crypto wallets. While Prime Trust has entered into agreement with Fireblocks to manage its crypto assets in 2020, new management reverted back to a legacy wallet management system in January 2021, and it was discovered in December 2021 that Prime Trust was unable to access these legacy wallets and the cryptocurrencies held within them. While Prime Trust was unable to access these wallets, it is alleged the firm used its clients' fiat currency accounts to purchase crypto to be used for processing crypto-denominated withdrawals. Prime Trust's efforts to regain access to crypto wallets while still ongoing have been unsuccessful. The receivership aims to appoint a receiver to oversee Prime Trust operations, examine its finances, and determine the best course of action to protect clients, potentially through rehabilitation or liquidation. Now, let's talk about some of the Bitcoin-only companies that were affected involved, some were like severely affected. We have Strike, we have Fold, we have Binance, we have Swan, and Coinbits as well. Now we're going to go through each, how it affected each company. With Strike, Strike was still using Prime Trust to do their debit payments, so currently you're not able to purchase Bitcoin using your debit card on Strike currently. That's currently down. They were using Prime Trust. Now, in the case with Swan, here I'm going to read you a tweet by the founder. And also, disclosure to everybody, I currently work at Swan. I am part of the media team over there, and they're a partner of the show. But hey, we have to do our jobs as I hate calling myself a journalist, Opti. We have to do our jobs as reporting the news as we do on Simply Bitcoin, and you guys expect us to do this. Anyway, so this is a tweet by Corey, and it says, all Swan Bitcoin customer funds were transferred from Prime Trust to Fortress and BitGo. There is zero precedent for clawback of customer funds from individual bankruptcy remote trust accounts. It's the whole point. Unlike the unsecured creditors of Celsius and FTX, Swan clients' assets have always been held with qualified custodians. Client assets are required by state and federal law to be segregated from business operations. As always, take self-custody if you can. We have free automatic withdrawals and tons of education to help. Not to mention as well, you could set up on the withdrawal stuff on the Swan side. You can plug in your XPub in there. And that will prevent address reuse. Gigi was able to develop it for them. It's really, really cool stuff. They have automatic withdrawals, and of course, they encourage self-custody, as do we. Now, in terms of Fold, it looks like they were able to get out on time as well. But it looks like not everyone was so lucky. Apparently, Coinbits app was not able to get out on time. They were a small Bitcoin exchange. They didn't tweet for about a week. They came out with a message earlier on today. I'm going to read you some of the thread. It goes on to say, this is a thread that we would never have wanted to write. We've been posting updates on our website and an email, but we think it's important to communicate directly to Bitcoin Twitter about what the Prime Trust meltdown means for Coinbits. First, to those who hold Bitcoin in custody with Prime Trust, whether or not use Coinbits, our hearts goes out to you. It's easy for some Bitcoiners to be dismissive of those who did not self-custody all their Bitcoin, but there are many reasons people might not have all their Bitcoin in self-custody, from technical understanding to life events. Compassion is warranted. Now onto Prime Trust. Prime Trust is a trust company. There are important distinctions between trust companies, banks, and crypto exchanges. It goes on to say, we'll get back to the trust stuff, but I'm going to move down to an important announcement here at the end. It says, most of the features of Coinbit's apps are currently offline, but we are developing new solutions and intend to restore our services soon. Does Coinbase have a future? I mean, Coinbit's have a future? Hell yes. We have a lot of exciting ideas that will focus even more on self-custody and independence. However, we'll save the details for a future thread. But it looks like right now they're on pause. Now, I really want to explore the key differences between the different models of how Bitcoin companies are approaching it. The model that Swan chose is to keep the brokerage and the custodian separate. And there is there's historical precedent for that, right? And the historical precedent is that's how the traditional financial system works, right? And so you don't want the broker and custodian to be the same, because then you create situations like Mt. Gox, you create situations like FTX. You want the broker and the custodian to be separate. And I also believe that it's going to be illegal in the U.S. pretty soon for that not to be the case, because that's how the traditional financial system work, right? In the traditional financial system, the broker and custodian are separate legal entities, right? So let's get back to actually defining what a brokerage is, what a custodian is. So it goes on to say, a prime broker is the institution you interact with when you pick up the phone or log onto an internet site and place a trade order. Similarly, it is the prime broker who will arrange a loan that you can use for leverage trading, which is a fancy term for buying and selling financial assets with borrowed money. Prime brokerages compile and report your trading activity to the tax authority and send your tax statements at the end of the year and keep records that can be used in the case of disputes. The custodian, also known as a custody provider, keeps possession of the assets. You can think of the custodian as the safe box to which your prime broker has access, but only with your express consent. And I think that's the key word there, right? Is that yes, the broker, you know, they have access to it, but only if you ask permission. And then that takes away the moral hazard, right? There's a reason that, you know, that the traditional financial system keeps them separate, right? And it's because of the moral hazard. You have situations like Mt. Gox, you have situations like FTX, you have situations like Celsius, not to mention the countless others. Back in the day when stock certificates were printed on paper, custodians used to actually store them. Today, most storage is handled electronically. However, an institution must still manage the flow of money between buyers and sellers. When you sell a stock, the custodian transfers the electronic entity representing stock certificates to the buyer's account and accepts the cash on your behalf from the seller. Now, another narrative that I hear being flouted on Twitter as well is this idea of the clawbacks, right? And this would affect a lot of, you know, the companies that were involved, whether that's Binance.us, if it were to affect them. It would affect Binance, it would affect Bold, it would affect Strike, and it potentially would affect Swan as well. Here is a tweet that came out from Corey earlier on today addressing the clawback concern. Goes on to say, the government would have to get rid of all trust companies and a century of trust structure legal precedent to confiscate assets from individuals and companies who had removed their own assets from a legal custodian. Also, if there were somehow going to be clawbacks, Swan would just make our users whole. Our share of the assets on Prime Trust was small, and we have plenty of money to cover our share. Now, at the end of the day, there's not that many qualified custodians, right? At the moment, there's one. Lots of more competition is coming soon from highly reputable firms. I suspect, you know, the fact that Wall Street is warming up to this. You have, you know, basically the hat tip from companies like BlackRock, and you have the hat tip from companies like Fidelity, I think is going to make it, I think it's going to make it a lot more attractive. But I think all Bitcoin brokers are eventually going to have to move to a multi-institutional multi-sig. Some of the companies that I have in mind are AnchorWatch, Unchained, and the upcoming Swan Vault and other qualified custodians as well. So, you know, and then at the end of the day, there's some products, right, whether, you know, it's the advisor product or IRA at Swan, that you need a qualified custodian by law, right? So, you know, it is what it is with the Prime Trust situation going happening how it happened. But the good news is that there were some Bitcoin companies that were able to get out on time, like Fold, like Swan, like Strike. Unfortunately, some apparently did not come out on time. But at the end of the day, you protect yourself from this, which is something that we advocate for every day on Simply Bitcoin, is not your keys, not your Bitcoin, right? You buy Bitcoin, you earn Bitcoin, you mine Bitcoin, and you take that Bitcoin into self-custody. If it's not in self-custody, it's not really your Bitcoin. It's an IOU, right? And now that we have the technology to have the ability to take self-custody of your wealth very efficiently and very effectively, no matter the amount, right? That wasn't the case for gold because of its physical properties. You should use that technology, right? So learn how to take self-custody. Check out BTC Sessions. He has incredible tutorials. Swan has a bunch of educational material as well. We cover it as well, right? We tried to tell you guys about the ethical Bitcoin wallets that, you know, how Beautyon calls it, right? So yeah, this is some crazy stuff. We'll stay on top of it as it develops. But again, you know, I think the lesson here is not your keys, not your Bitcoin. And I don't think there's a good solution to this, because the other Bitcoin companies that follow the other different model, which is the model of, you know, having the broker and custodian the same, you're still trusting them. And if they go out of business, you're not protected whatsoever, right? So, if the Bitcoin industry is going to be regulated like the traditional financial system, eventually legally those companies are going to be forced to do that as well, right? As is the case with everybody, right? Like if you buy, you know, stocks on Robinhood, or if you buy stocks on whatever brokerage, they're not holding those stocks. A custodian is holding those stocks, right? And that was the best way to do it, right? It's not really easy to take self-custody of stocks. Like they're going to send you like a physical copy of it. It's a lot easier just to keep it on there. But with Bitcoin, it's incredibly easy to take self-custody. So, you know, learn how to do it, take personal responsibility, and whatever's happening on the outside, whether, you know, a country makes Bitcoin illegal, an exchange blows up, whatever the case is, if your Bitcoin's in self-custody, none of this affects you, right? So anyways, Opti, what's your take on that?
Yeah, well, let me circle back for a minute back to the Sailor news. Like, dude, I cannot even fathom holding 153K plus coins. Like, that is absolutely insane. Sailor and or MicroStrategy will be holding more Bitcoin than nation states around the world. Like, that is absolutely crazy. When the MicroStrategy, country gets formed, maybe this is where all the other Bitcoiners will go. Like, man, it's just crazy. And then also kind of like a little joke that I've been saying for a while now is like, don't let Sailor outstack you guys. Like, you know, obviously LOL, and you don't have the capital of Sailor, but do not take your foot off the gas right now, because it's not the time, especially if we have billionaires scooping up so much coin. Do whatever you can right now. As we say all the time, you know, sell your chairs, work overtime, do whatever you can to minimize your costs so that you can stack as many Bitcoin as possible, because I think you'll be pleasantly happy. And we're all here for that generational wealth, separating money and state. And in time, the hodlers will be rewarded. Okay, now back to the Prime Trust news. You know, it's absolutely insane. This is why we tell you guys every single day that you have to take your Bitcoin into cold storage ASAP. Do not trust these third parties to hold your money. This is like literally the reason why Bitcoin was created in the first party, or as Szabo wrote, I don't know if you guys have read it yet, but you should definitely read it. Third parties are security holes. So avoid counterparty risk as much as possible. Take your money into self-custody. Again, we beat on this drum every single day, basically, to ensure that you guys out there are protecting yourself, because if you don't do it, no one else will. So, of course, take your money into self-custody. And I mean, Prime Trust, like, guys, you had one job: to custody the coin, and it messed us up by losing control of that wallet. Like, for fuck's sake, it's absolutely atrocious. But man, I think, as a Bitcoiner, that this is my second bear market. Nico, I think we can safely say that this bear market might have been the worst one yet. You know, a lot of stuff has happened in the past, and this one, oh man, it's just atrocious. But I think in the long term, when the dust does settle, we'll look back at this time and be like, this was good for Bitcoin. Now all Bitcoin companies moving forward will have to figure out the best practices, use less third-party trust, and I think this is good for the Bitcoin ecosystem. Or rather, you know, new players will come in and do things right so that this doesn't happen again moving forward. I mean, look at what's happened in the past. When MT Gox got wrecked, everyone, you know, readjusted their strategy, and now we are here. There's only so many, you know, custodial solutions out there, and I think now we will see in the next coming years, or hopefully sooner, that people will do this stuff correctly so that more people don't get absolutely wrecked. And so we'll see how bad this fallout is. My heart goes out to anyone caught up in this. But again, this is why we continuously tell you guys, take Bitcoin into self-custody, protect yourself, do not trust someone with your money. And on the culture, I'm going to run all through this, at least like a broad overview, so that people know at least some of the best practices. And then if I have to, guys, just let me know, and we'll dive a little deeper into every little intricacy here, or, you know, go watch BTC sessions and do some education work yourself. But man, anyways, absolutely crazy. And the dust hasn't even settled yet. So we'll see how bad this really gets moving forward.
100%. And look, regardless of the model of the specific exchange, it doesn't change anything. Like, at the end of the day, you can only be sure that, like, let's say in a perfect world, right, you were, and it's pretty effective in the legacy financial system, but let's say, you know, you qualified custodian, it was protected, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. I just don't think that there's anything better than self-custody at the end of the day. Right. And then, you know, other exchanges like River Cash App, right? They have different types of models where the broker dealer, the broker and custodian are the same. You know, it still creates that moral hazard, right? There is no there's no legal protections in those situations. So I don't think that there's a perfect, I don't think that there's anything better than self-custody in this particular situation. I think that if this stuff worries you, I mean, I would even go on to say that you just shouldn't have anything on exchanges. Like, you know, and that's something that we've been advocating for since day one, right? Take self-custody, you buy Bitcoin, earn Bitcoin, you mine Bitcoin, and take that Bitcoin into self-custody, and then you don't have to worry about this stuff. And that's something that we'll continue to advocate for on Simply Bitcoin every single day.
Yeah. Wait, before you go on, Nico, remember, guys, you can't print more Bitcoin to wash over this problem. Take Bitcoin into self-custody.
Yeah, exactly. Take Bitcoin into self-custody. I think that's the big message out of all of this. And yeah, man. But anyways, crazy, crazy stuff. Let's jump straight into the culture segment. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, everybody. I also want to tell you about the Pacific Bitcoin Festival
in Los Angeles, California, October 5th through the 6th. It's coming up. It's going to be this year. In my opinion, this was one of the best Bitcoin festivals I ever went to. It was literally in an airplane hangar. It's awesome. The speakers already that have already announced that have already been announced include Lynn Alden, Greg Foss, Alex Gladstein, Corey Clipson, Preston Pysh, and many, many more. They have a basketball court, you know, they have the Swan Dome, you know, it's awesome. Hey, look, it's Sophie. Sophie's on there. You know, they got food trucks.
Tarantula, it's awesome. Let's go.
You got Tarantula on there as well. You got the food trucks. You could take advantage of the special promo code Simply to get yourself a 20% discount to the Pacific Bitcoin Festival. I hope to see you guys in the flesh over there. Like I said, it was one of my favorite Bitcoin conference things of the year. I definitely recommend to make the journey over to LA. Anyways, Opti, what are we covering today?
All right, guys. So we got a few emails. I got a few comments in the chat last week. So I'm going to go over on what I like to do every once in a while. And it is basically do some PSAs, some good UTXO hygiene. Name the names of the Bitcoin wallets that I like. So we are, you know, doing our best to hold your hands, because just yelling at you and telling you to take Bitcoin into self-custody is only half the battle. And I know there's a lot of options out there and people get confused. They get lost by they get option paralysis. So I'm going to go over what I think are just the basics. And someone asked us in an email, something on the lines like, I'm a boomer. I'm relatively new to Bitcoin. Can you talk about running a node? And then last week I talked about UTXO management or good UTXO hygiene, and if we could cover that. And then of course, while I'm doing all this, I'm going to name some of the wallets that I think people should be using, that I've used, that I think are great wallets, so that we can kind of cover our whole basis, considering that the theme here today is take Bitcoin into self-custody, guys. It's not as difficult as you may think it is. Yes, there's some jargon. Yes, it might sound complicated. And I will go through this fast and let me know if I need to come back and cover some stuff. But it's really, it becomes second nature. I always say the same thing. I remember when I took Bitcoin into self-custody my first time, did my first transaction. It was terrifying, but now it's second nature. It's like riding a bike, and you'll get there. So first and foremost, I'm over here on bitcoin.org. Of course, I'm on the download button right here, so you can download a full node. And I think you should be downloading a full node. I've been saying this for a while. Now is the time to get all your ducks in a row, because when the bull run comes back, it's going to get absolutely crazy. And the easiest way to run a node is just simply by downloading Bitcoin Core. Yes, you can buy a node. Yes, Noddle is one of our sponsors. Yes, there's Start9 and Ronin Dojo and Umbro and all these other options nowadays. But downloading Bitcoin Core is almost a rite of passage. And you don't really even need that much for your computer. Like, you don't need to go buy a new computer. You can do it on your daily driver, but it is kind of best practice to get yourself maybe an external little computer that is only for your Bitcoin transactions, minimize the attack vectors. And there are some certain requirements, but basically any computer, modern computer, even one of my buddies, Skeef, he always tells me to get a Lenovo ThinkPad for like $100 on eBay and then put a new hard drive in it and you'll be good to go. Anyways, all you really need is, it says 7 gigabytes of free disk space accessible at a minimum read/write speed of 100 megabytes and 2 gigabytes of memory RAM. And that's if you want to, Nico's trolling me. All right. And that's only if you want to run a full node. Guys, you can just print a node as well. You're still going to be running a full node. You just won't be passing along the information to anyone else. So, or at least, propagating full nodes for other people. But guys, the main thing here is, do not forget to verify your release signatures. Yes, it says optional, but I would say it is almost mandatory that you do this. Yes, it might be above your pay grade. Yes, you might think it is super complicated. But again, if I can do it, you can do it as well. And I highly recommend you do this. I know on Bitcoin Core or Bitcoin.org, it says it is optional. But if you don't do this, you don't know what software you are running on your computer, and you might run malware and you might wreck yourself and people will get your Bitcoin. So it does seem labor intensive and you might seem out of your depth, but highly recommend you follow the guide and you do this for yourself. If I can do it, you can do it. You're just going to have to, you know, troubleshoot a little bit. Okay. Again, I'm running through this quick, guys. So I do have notes over here, but simply download a Bitcoin Core. You don't have to pay anything. It's just going to take a little while for you to get the initial block download going. Almost any computer nowadays, you'll be able to get yourself a node running today. Well, it might take you a little while depending on how good your internet is and your computer. You could just go out there and buy one. You could build a Raspberry Pi. I named a few, you know, Noddle, Ronin Dojo, Start9, Umbral. These are all the newer option, or Minode. These are all the standalone options that you can buy, and they come in and they're ready to go. Okay, the next one here, I just have an article here from Unchained. What is a Bitcoin hardware wallet and what they do? The next step I would say is downloading what we like to call the ethical Bitcoin wallets. You shouldn't need to give any information to download a Bitcoin wallet. Just download it, back up your seed phrase, make sure the seed phrase is backed up, doesn't touch the internet, put it on steel, whether that's a BitPlates or just washers from a Home Depot. Back up your seed phrase. You do not want to just keep it on a piece of paper in your sock drawer. But of course, before you send your life savings over to a wallet, whether it's a mobile wallet, whether it's a hardware wallet, whether it's a desktop wallet, make sure you send a small amount of coin, like $5 or something, and then clear the wallet and then back it up from your recovery seed phrase. Because then you know that if you do lose the wallet, on your phone, on your computer, you can always back it up, and you don't have the possibility of ever losing your total life savings. So this is a pretty simple process. Again, once you go through the motion, go through the process, you'll understand that, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was, but these are the best practices and this is what you should be doing. Now, the wallets I recommend, again, I am not the end all be all of Bitcoin wallets, but these are the ones I've used and I have tried. Again, you as an individual, you've tried wallets that you like, that you recommend to your friends and family, and I would highly recommend that this is what you do. Don't just take my word for it. I've used all these wallets. I've tried all these wallets. I have friends that also have tried these wallets, and the consensus between me and my friends is these are the wallets I like. I literally have most of these wallets on either my phone or my computer. So first, let's go with just the mobile wallets. Now, mobile wallets are probably not the safest for the long term. Yes, they're hot wallets, meaning that your seed phrase is connected to the internet. But you can kind of think of these as checking accounts. If you're going to be sending Bitcoin daily, you know, you want to move Bitcoin around. This is not for a long-term cold storage solution. A mobile wallet is good, but hey, a mobile wallet is better than leaving your coin on an exchange. So I think usually most people will go to a mobile wallet on their phone and then take the journey towards a more secure cold storage or multi-sig setup, but I'll leave the multi-sig setup for later. For now, the wallets that I like on my phone, and I think I have all of these on my phone currently, is Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Moon Wallet, Phoenix Wallet, Breeze Wallet, Wallet of Satoshi. Yes, this is custodial and you're going to throw tomatoes, but it's very good onboarding a lot of people and it just works. And then of course, Nunchuck. I haven't fully tried Nunchuck yet, guys. I haven't put it through the paces personally, but you can do a multi-sig setup on your phone and it seems to be absolutely killer out there. So again, I know I'm giving you a lot of options right now, but this is the point. There is trade-offs to all these wallets and I just want to make you aware of all the good wallets. Download them, use them yourself, because again, nothing beats personal experience. Now, the next move is desktop wallets. Of course, obviously I said Bitcoin Core. Highly recommend Bitcoin Core. And if you are running a desktop wallet on your laptop or your computer, you will most likely download Bitcoin Core anyways. Maybe it does it on the back end and you won't even know. But the two wallets, or actually three, considering that Nico loves the third one. I like Spectre, I like Sparrow, and Nico's a huge advocate of Electrum. So those are the four desktop wallets that I would highly recommend. You can look into them. You can do the trade-off, whatever you need to do to personally personalize what's going on over here. And then the hardware signing devices, aka the hardware wallets, as you can see over here on Unchained. The ones that I like, again, I am not the end-all be-all of the wallet, you know, connoisseurs over here, but the ones that I use, the ones that I love, the ones that I literally have in my drawer behind me, some are used, most aren't, is Jade. Obviously, they're one of our sponsors. For the price point, it might be one of the best. For the price point, it's $50. The next are Cold Card and Passport, or Foundation's Passport. Yes, I know there's some contention. There's some rivalry there, but these are probably the industry standard. The Cold Card is like by far most Bitcoiners' favorite wallet or hardware wallet out there. They keep updating. They've got really cool colors now. The Foundation's Passport is one of my personal friends' favorite wallet. Shouts out to Shishi. And then I think the unsung hero is Seed Signer. You can get an off the wall or off the shelf part, build yourself a wallet. I think this one might be the most universal wallet. You can get this everywhere. If you're concerned about giving a Bitcoin company your address, maybe go buy the off-the-shelf part for a Seed Signer. And even one of our old sponsors, the Bitbox Bitcoin Only Edition. And I know Nico still recommends a Trezor for, you know, just some daily driver stuff. Maybe there's some contention about it being a cold storage long-term solution. So there is trade-offs here. But I highly recommend that you look into this yourself. And these are the wallets that you want to use. Nico, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, dude. First of all, great fucking job.
And then, hold on, I'm not done yet. But
okay, but also breaking, we have to get to the breaking news.
Shut up.
Apparently, so some sources have revealed that Optimus Fields dumped Chrissy because she wouldn't run her own node. Is that true, Opti?
Can't. I will plead the fifth. I will plead the fifth.
Is there truth to that?
Yes. We'll say yes. For a PC-friendly show, yes. Okay, all right. Enough trolling me, Nico. All right, the last portion of today's show is UTXO management. And as we saw a couple of months ago with this whole wizard ordinal thing, there is potentially going to be a high-fee environment moving forward. And what UTXO management means is simply just consolidating UTXOs. You do not want a bunch of tiny UTXOs or what you might think Bitcoins are. They're just UTXOs. Or as you can see here on the screen, shouts out to Wicked. He puts out a lot of great threads. Like gold, Bitcoin comes in different size chunks. These chunks are called UTXOs or unspent transaction outputs. That's what you're holding in your Bitcoin wallet, is just a bunch of unspent transaction outputs. Unlike gold, all Bitcoin UTXOs have an equal weight when spending them, so it costs the same amount in fees to spend a small UTXO as it costs to spend a large UTXO. And when you pile up a bunch of small UTXOs, you might be hit with a bigger fee than you thought you were. So here's a comment right here. I'd like to add that consolidating UTXOs is like melting those chunks together into one big chunk, but you have to pay a transaction fee for every chunk you want to smelt. Wicked response, precisely. And in a high fee environment, it might end up costing more to melt smaller chunks together than they're actually worth. This is why it's important to practice good UTXO management and consolidate your smaller ones whenever fees go down. Now the mempool is it's starting to clear out. There's reasonable fees out there. So right now, my be a good time to consolidate some UTXOs, get some good UTXO hygiene going. And the next question is usually, what or how big should my UTXOs be? I think the common heuristic is basically get it above the dust limit. You still don't want it that small. I think the dust limit right now is around like 545 sats. It might have changed recently, but that's what I remember it was. Again, there is no tried and true science here. It is a little more of art. But again, using Wicked as a source right here, he goes, what percentage of my total BTC held in my hardware wallet do you recommend each UTXO to be? For example, if I have 10 BTC, should I have 10 UTXOs of 1 BTC? And Wicked responds, there are two main considerations, how much you're willing to pay in fees in the future and how quickly you're planning to spend that UTXO. And I would add a third one, considering private implications. Sorry, wrong word. You do not want just a bunch of huge UTXOs if you are spending little tiny chunks, because maybe you don't want to dock your whole holding in one UTXO. Say you have a, you know, 10 BTC UTXO and you're just spending 100,000 sats here or there. Maybe the person you're sending your sats to, you don't want them to know you're holding 10 BTC. I don't know. This is something you're going to have to consider. So having fewer UTXOs would generally mean you pay less in fees when you eventually spend your Bitcoin. But if you're planning to spend it soon, then only having really large UTXOs to spend could be a risk, like paying for a candy bar by pulling out a kilo of gold and shaving off a little flake. If you're not planning on spending anytime soon, then I expect better privacy layers to emerge in the next few years, which will make this concern with privacy irrelevant since all spending will be coin joined by default. So again, if you have one whole coin, 100 million sats, you know, you're going to have to consider this for yourself. Ask yourself what you want to do. Maybe you have, you know, a 50 million sat UTXO and a couple 10 million UTXOs and maybe like a 5 million, 1 million, depending on what your spending habits will be, depending on what you're doing, whether it is long-term storage, whether it's going to be some short-term spending cash. Maybe you just want to flex on people and be a part of the, like, I own one whole coin, so you put it into one UTXO so you can be a part of the chain analysis about X amount of, you know, Bitcoin, one Bitcoin holders. Again, there is trade-offs to all of this, and just don't do anything stupid, guys. You're going to have to think about this for yourself. Take the risk for yourself. There's trade-offs to all of this, but I think breaking down some UTXOs is recommended, whether that's 10 million, 5 million, 1 million UTXOs, or, you know, 10 million Bitcoin transactions. Again, I went over this kind of super fast, but at the very end of the day, it is all about taking your Bitcoin into self-custody, and you're going to have to ask yourself what trade-offs you're willing to do. But you have the tools today where you don't have to trust anyone. Run a node for yourself. Take Bitcoin into self-custody with a wallet that you have the seed backed up for. And then from there, that you can have some mobile wallets, you can have some hardware wallets, you could have some desktop wallets, but also, you know, make sure your seed phrase is backed up so that you never catch yourself in a situation where you lose your wallet or your house burns down. You know, like, there's a lot of things to consider here. But once you do it a couple times, it's second nature and it won't be as terrifying as it was before. So I hope I gave you a basic overview. Again, if I need to come back and give you a little more detail into every little niche, I will do that. Just let me know. And, or, you know, go check out BTC Sessions. Our boy Ben over there has all kinds of educational content. There's a bunch of educational content that will lead you down this. But hey, in what, 10, 15 minutes, I gave you the basics. And you can go off and understand that, okay, I am at least well prepared on the overview of what I need to do. Anyways, yeah. Nico, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so first of all, we got a comment. Kenneth Reyes is asking, why does it require a fee to self-custody? It does not. Swan offers free fees. They don't charge you.
Well, maybe they're talking about like a fee on the blockchain to get their transaction.
Oh, yeah, still. It's completely free. Swan.
No, I mean in general. I think in general. You're paying the miners.
Yeah, you're paying the network, brother. Yeah. You're making the network stronger, right? You know, like the miners aren't going to work for free, right? So if that, you know, depending on what angle you're asking that question, I think Opti did a great job. I think it's a lot easier than people perceive this to be. And I think that perception comes from the fact that most people have been living in the fiat matrix the majority of their lives. Once you fully transition to a Bitcoin standard, and I promise you, I swear to God, it is 100 times easier than opening a bank account, sending a wire, and all that fucking bullshit they make you go through.
It takes 2 minutes, if that.
Once you kind of get your head around it, and it's so much easier. Like 5 years ago, it was pretty fucking difficult. Like, there's amazing Bitcoin companies that are trying to solve a lot of these problems, making Bitcoin easy to use, making self-custody easy to use. At this point, you have no excuse. You have absolutely no excuse, right? You should definitely, you know, try to run your own node. I don't think it's that hard. And then download one of the many ethical Bitcoin wallets. There's so many to choose from. Opti, I just found out, is a Sparrow Maxi.
I personally love Sparrow. It's so nice.
I'm an Electrum Maxi. I love Electrum. You know, but again, whatever. And then there's Spectre. Spectre's freaking awesome. I love the guys over there. Shout out.
Hey, wait, Nico, I don't mean to cut you off, but can we get a few of these questions I answered? Yeah, there's a few people. So Hammersaw, great advice. He goes, can't consolidate between any two wallets you control. You're just sending BTC to yourself. I think that's a good little PSA. And we had one question up here that I want to cover. And he goes, this is Jordan. He says, do you need to run a node to consolidate your UTXOs? No, you don't. But best practice is verify Bitcoin for yourself, run a node, but you don't have to, bro. It's just sending Bitcoin to yourself, basically.
100%. 100%. It literally, and I do recommend it, by the way, every once in a while, to consolidate. I think it's good practice. But again, guys, I think the, you know, it is never been a better time to learn how to run your own node. You could buy one that's already pre-made. You could literally plug and play. There's never been a better time to learn how to take self-custody. There's so many good wallets out there. Obviously, we're a fan of Jade. We're also a fan of Cold Card. We're also a fan of Foundation. Also a fan of Trezor. And I'm going to say it. I still like Ledger. I think Ledger makes it very fucking easy for people
to take self-custody. Don't use Ledger Live, though.
Don't use Ledger Live. This is true. So yeah, you know, just at this point, you know, buy the hardware wallet that, you know, that, fits your technical know-how. Obviously if you're a Bitcoiner, you've been here for a while, you know, you're on the hardcore, I want my shit to be open source. I want to know what the fuck is on my hardware wallet. But then, you know, but again, is that as easy for someone kind of getting into the field? And that's something that, you know, that's something that I think has to be handled on an individual basis. But, you know, what Opti said, our boy BTC Sessions has an amazing catalog of tutorials covering every single one. Every single one of those, we should have Ben on the show. We should do a culture segment on Ben.
Yeah. I agree. And guys, it's really just like exposure. It seems scary at first. I can literally remember the first time I sent a Bitcoin transaction, and that was what, 5-6 years ago now. And now it's just like, it's second nature. It's easy as sending an email, man. It's just like, there's a mental learning curve that you'll have to get to. But after a couple of them, this becomes second nature. It's like riding a bicycle.
100%. 100%. Anyways, Opti, I'm confused. Did I tell people about BitPlates? Did I tell people about BitPlates? Guys, have you heard about BitPlates? I don't think you guys have heard about BitPlates. If you want to make it over the line with your generational wealth, and there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. You don't want to store your Bitcoin wallet backup seed words or passphrases on paper. You want to store them on steel. This is the BitPlates Domino. It's designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases. It's easy to use, hard to destroy, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, and it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You could take advantage of the promo code simply to get yourself a 10% discount anything on the BitPlates.com website. Guys, this is awesome. Again, you want to properly back up your generational wealth. Don't put your 24 words on paper. Put it on steel. Check out the BitPlates Domino. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. It is time for Kaboom Ride.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Dude, the slap on the ASIC, the slap in the stick, it gets me every time. Kaboom Racks. All right, you already know the deal. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where you tag us on Twitter with memes at SimplyBitcoinTV or drop them in our Telegram group and I will do my best to get to them. There's a lot of messages in there now. We're almost at 1,000 people in our Telegram
group. Yeah, wait. We haven't shilled our Telegram in a very long time.
This is true.
Guys, join Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. It's a party in there. We're up to 911 people. Shout out to Darth Coin for holding it down. He holds the Telegram equivalent to Twitter Spaces every weekend. So definitely join. To join the Simply Bitcoin Telegram group, you got to go to t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Like Opti said, it's absolutely free. It's a party in there. Definitely check it out.
Love it. All right, guys. Well, as we say every single day, tweet to the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war right now, and it's never been more important to spread the truth, spread the signal. Make sure you are getting your friends and families' morale up by sending them funding memes so that they can continue stacking. And then also calls of actions, you know, getting people to hold Bitcoin in wallets, in self-custody, getting people to stack sats, all that good stuff. It does move the needle because people don't have the attention span they used to. And the bite-sized, palatable information that memes are, hey, it got us all here, so it's going to get more people on the Bitcoin standard. Anyways, this first meme is by the Bitcoin conference, and he goes, when no coiner friends say they are too late to Bitcoin, this might change their minds. And there is just a bell curve, and this is the adoption curve cycle, and it goes 2.5% is innovators, 13.5% is early adopters, 34% is the early majority, 34% is the late majority, and 16%, the last 16% will be the laggards. And there's just an arrow pointing down at the 2.5%, the 13.5%, the innovators to early adopters. And it goes 200 million Bitcoin users is 2.5% of the world's population. And honestly, personally, I think this might even be a little high, but you're still early. This is still so early in the game of Bitcoin. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I am convinced of it. Anyways, this next meme is by the Having Party MF. And he goes, don't let inflation price you out of your goals. Hashtag Bitcoin. And we got the Crowder chair here where he's, you know, changed my mind, but it's got Dorian Nakamoto's head on top of it. And he's holding a Bitcoin mug. And he goes, millennials will not be able to afford retirement without Bitcoin. Change my mind. Change my mind about this. I am fully convinced of this as well.
Wait, breaking news. We just hit 100 likes on the live stream. Appreciate you all. Smash that like button. Keep smashing it.
Let's go. Okay, this next one is by the BTC therapist, and he goes, all of this happened in 2 weeks. Hashtag BTC. And we got the classic, boyfriend looking at the cute girl, looking at the girl in the red dress away, and the girlfriend's, you know, concerned and mad. And we have Bitwise, Citadel, Charles Schwab, Santander, Invesco, Fidelity, Valkyrie, BlackRock, WisdomTree, Deutsche Bank, and they're all looking at Bitcoin. And the mad girlfriend is U.S. Treasuries.
I'm just surprised that you could pronounce Deutsche Bank better than Santander.
Santander. I don't know how to say that shit. All right. Anyways, next meme is by Selly, aka at Don_TCell on Twitter.
Opti's not really Mexican. He's
dude, I am whitewashed Mexican. Okay. All right. And we got Selly here, and he goes, he's got a, you know, this is the play on the Charlie Day connecting the dots. And he goes, CBDCs connecting to food shortages, which are connecting to depopulation, which is connected to the World Economic Forum. And it's all connected to the banks. And it's Selly freaking out. And then his wife opens the door and goes, we don't have enough Bitcoin, do we? No, you do not have enough Bitcoin. All right. This one, there is an audio aspect to this, but for the sake of some time, this is BTC Pins, and you guys can see the visuals. It goes, my favorite kind of Bitcoiner summed up in one GIF, and it's just a funny dressed guy over here with a helmet on a green screen, and someone throws a box, and the box is shit coins, and he just kicks the box away. Bitcoin only, this is the way. Okay, this next meme is by Maxi's Club, and I really felt this one because we are all micro niche celebrities over here in the Bitcoin space, and he goes, 440, my portfolio. And it's the classic car making a swerve on the freeway, the hard right swerve, and going straight is a well-paying job, and the hard curve to the right is 6 likes, and it goes Bitcoin whoop, meme whoop. Creators. Whoop. I felt that one. Okay, this last one. Shouts out to Count Bitcoin because he was trolling me this week. I always say that I never check the Bitcoin price, yet I check the Bitcoin price every single day for you guys, but I never check it outside of just giving you guys a historical timestamp on the Simply Bitcoin spaces or the show. Anyways, Count Bitcoin goes,
that's some bullshit.
He goes, okay, I mostly don't check it. Only when it's pumping and you guys are freaking out about it on Twitter. Dude, do I check the price.
The first thing he does, bro, he wakes up.
And I tea leaf read.
Selfie for Nico. And then he checks the price. That's what he does, bro. Every day.
Okay, all right, go back to the meme. So this Count Bitcoin, he goes, when someone says, I don't check the Bitcoin price, and we got this lady right here, and goes, liar, and Nico goes, is that Chrissy in the GIF? Oh, man, double wreck.
She looks
double
like
wreck. Okay. All right. Well, drop your meme review score in the chat. Wait, like J-Dub. Opti whitewash Mexican. So disappointed. Oof. All right, hold on. I got it for you. One second.
Hey, just so you know. Just so you know, YouTube, the Latin jokes are okay because I'm
Hispanic. Hey, we're Latinos. Too. We could say this about ourselves.
Yeah, we could say this about ourselves. Anyway, just wanted to get that out there. All right, everybody. Opti, wait, you didn't even give it a score.
Oh yeah. My meme review score is this. Does it have the size? 64-ounce stainless steel water container, because I got absolutely terrified in our spaces and they're telling me that all plastic water bottles are killing me. So
it's true.
Stainless steel water container, 64 ounce.
Okay. Yeah, but what water are you drinking?
Right now, it's not the best, but I just got a water filter coming in.
All right. I'm going to give it this DeWalt box cutter. It looks very intense, right? Like that's a,
it's dude, not a finicky. Are you transitioning into a construction worker now?
No, this is for like the UPS box, like the Amazon boxes. It's like,
you got to just, all right, drop your meme review score in the chat while I troll him. Wait, that one. You literally have the best razor for just opening boxes at your house.
I think it was here. I think it was here when I moved in. Like, I don't know where this came from. I have no idea where this came from.
Oh, man.
I don't know. But it is like intense. It's like, look, like I got a box cutter, you know, like it's the real thing. It's a real deal.
All right. Let me see if some of these.
There's a question. Is each ASIC miner a node? No, they are not.
Okay, we got one. Wait, hold on. There was another question while we're waiting for some. Steve asks, how much are jades right now? They're like $50, bro.
Yep, $50.
Okay, we got a few. Well, we got one. We got one so far. You need to put the music on. You need to put the music on.
It's coming in. No. No music today.
Oh, no music. Okay, all right.
Hammersaw, I give the scores institutional demand printing those big green candles. All right. Next one by Gemasico. I give it a copper water bottle with essential water in it.
Oh man.
See, that's the key right there. That's some real shit. UTXO, my meme review score is a 16-pack of 5-gallon water containers.
Okay. Very, very nice. I started a theme here. Everyone is concerned about their water now. It's good.
This the theme of today's episode. Take self-custody, run a note.
And make sure you have good water.
Elaine, Sailor leaves some Bitcoin for the plebs. Amen to that. J-Dub, the Laker, 21 mil. Opti's revoked Mexican card.
Hey, just because my Spanish is trash doesn't mean I wasn't born in Mexico, all right?
This is true. All right, next one we got.
That's, hold on.
All right, everybody. That was a fun show. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on Simply Bitcoin Live. I'm your host, Nico. This is my awesome co-host, Opti. If you guys enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution forward is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusive. Share it all. Don't share shitcoin content. That's counterproductive. But until next time. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, subscribe to us on Anchor, Fountain, Spotify. Check out our original clips. Rustin and Dell are absolutely slaying it. We're trying to drop those every weekday and on the weekends as well. Check out the written version of the show. Go to simplybitcoin.news. Shout out to our awesome teams of writers. Zach and Mike are holding it down, dropping the hot fire. Sir Ulrich dropped a guest article, which was a collab article, which was hot fire as well. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you all. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. But we will be having a Simply Bitcoin IRL with Jimmy Song tonight. So I'm really looking forward to that. Anyways, guys, peace out.